One of the sifim we're learning this week, our abbreviated week, in Hilchos Pshara, discusses a very curious, very controversial, I guess, question. Not sure how to describe it in English. Basically playing hardball, a defendant commonly, but playing hardball with the... He knows he's liable, he knows he owes the money, but by being a real hard case about it, by giving the plaintiff a hard time, he hopes that the plaintiff will just not have the patience, will agree to settle. He's not going to actually steal the money if the plaintiff doesn't agree, but he hopes that by giving him a really hard time, he'll settle and agree to compromise and not take all the money. Is that mutter or not? The answer is no, that is not mutter. That is the Shulchan Aruch. Sivav, Misha Tovmov, Samaman Shu Muksikbo. If someone sues you for money which you legitimately owe him, Osir Levake Shtodim Li Shamet, you're not allowed to look for ways to get out, meaning illegitimate ways. Kedesh Yisratza Halal Alasim Apshara, in order to induce him to make Apshara, V'yim Chalal Alashar. You're not allowed to do that. That is a ruling of the Trumas Adeshin. The problem is that the Trumas Adeshin himself acknowledges that this seems to contradict a Tosus, a Gemara. The Tosus seems to understand that it is actually permitted to do this, even though the halacha is like the Trumas Adeshin of the Shulchan Aruch, in the course of trying to reconcile this Tosus with the Trumas Adeshin, all kinds of interesting distinctions and exceptions to this rule arise. And many of these have interesting ramifications in the halacha. The Gemara is a fairly complicated and technical sugin bava kama. Has to do with a shomer, someone who has an ox and gives the ox to a shomer, and the ox gets out in damages. And a couple of times in the context of this discussion, the Gemara mentions a claim that one party can tell the other, either the shomer can tell the owner or the owner can tell the shomer. He can tell him that, why'd you let Basin get the ox? You could have taken the ox and hidden the ox. I could have done it. You could have done it. I could have done it. Have him arikna leila agma. The halacha is a shor tam is only mishalim migufo. If the shor is tam and not muad, it hasn't been warned yet, you haven't gotten warnings, the person is not personally liable. It's only migufo. It's only the shor itself can be seized. If you hide the shor, then you're not going to get charged. So the Gemara says, this would have been a good idea. We could have taken the shor and hidden it, and Basin wouldn't have gotten it, then we would have been safe. The Tosa says, what are you talking about? You're allowed to do that? That's stealing. If the shar gored some other shar and is liable for its damage, you can't just steal the shar. That's just theft. What kind of business is that? Tosa says, Shirot Salomar, what the Gemara means is, Mitoch Dvarim Elu Shaisi Osa. It's true, we weren't actually going to steal the shar, but we were going to threaten to steal the shar. And therefore, Hayanizik mispasherim bedvar bedvar muat, because of my threats to steal the shor and hide it, the Nizik knows that he's going to have a hard time getting it. Because of that, he'll offer me a settlement bedvar muat hayamochaliv nimtzishes nani ala yisrim. This is what I would have done, and this would have been economically advantageous for me, and therefore you shouldn't eliminate this possibility for me. Tosu seems to say, the Trumas Adeshin and all the Achronim point out, you're allowed to do this. You're allowed to. Again, you have to see the whole sugya, you have to see the kasha of Tosis, the exact details of his kasha, but it seems from Tosis that this is okay, that you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to take the shar, a shar tam, which is only mishalim migufo, and hide it, not to permanently hide it, because that's stealing from the nizik, you're allowed to do it in order to induce him to settle. How can that be? Trumas Adeshin says it's certainly not the halacha, and all the posts can agree to the Trumas Adeshin, and the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do that. So how can Tosis say you're allowed to do that? It doesn't make sense in Svar. So the Trumas Adeshin himself gives two answers. One answer is that really you're not allowed to do it. Even though you're not allowed to do it, the Gemara still says he's saying he would have done it. He's telling the other guy he would have done it. Even he would have done an Isser. That's not your business. I would have done an Isser. It's wrong, yes, it's morally wrong between me and God, but that's not your business. So the Marshal, other Acharim say, what do you mean it's not your business? You have to see the context of the Sugya, but if you're not allowed to do it, then how can you sit there and claim and based in, I would have done it, I could have done it, you wouldn't have done it, you're not allowed to do it. Basically, wouldn't let you do it. How can you make a claim against somebody based on this idea that you would have done something which is usher? We had, for example, and you find this idea in other places in Choshen Mishpat, the post can talk about cases where if I have, you know, counterfeit goods and you damage them, and I say, well, they're worth a lot of money because I could have ripped off some unsuspecting consumer and sold him the counterfeit goods. I would have done it. I have a going business in cheating people with counterfeit goods. That's not a taina. You're not allowed to do it, though. If you're not allowed to do something, that you can't say, well, I would have done it. It's not your business. If you're not allowed to do it, that doesn't yield a claim. So the first teretz of the Trumas Adeshin and the Achronim have a lot of trouble with. The second teretz of the Trumas Adeshin is interesting and accepted l'halacha by some poskim. The second teretz of the Trumas Adeshin is yes, it's true that you're not allowed to deliberately threaten the other party to your negotiations by saying, if you don't cooperate, I will do something which is us, or I will do something which is not fair. You're not allowed to do that. What Tosis means is you wouldn't threaten to do anything. You're not actually threatening to hide the shah. What you're saying is that, look, the defendant knows that some people in the world are unfortunately not so scrupulous. The defendant himself, without my threatening anything, might proactively offer me a settlement to make sure I don't do that. So, and I'm allowed to take that settlement. I'm not allowed to actually threaten to do something shelo kadin. But if he, out of a lack of knowledge of my sterling character, my honest and sterling character, offers me a settlement, I'm allowed to take it. This basic idea, there's a similar idea in the Shvus Yaakov. The Pesach Tshuva brings the Shvus Yaakov, who says, again, that you're not allowed to do things be a dayim. Shvus Yaakov says you're not allowed to do things be a dayim to force a settlement, but what you're allowed to do is b'shev v'altaseh. You're allowed to say, I'm not going to steal the shar, but I am going to maybe not be so careful about locking the barn door. The shar might run away. That you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to actively steal the shar, but you're allowed to b'shev v'altaseh, passively allow harm to happen to the other guy in the hope that he'll, in order that he doesn't want you to do that, in the hope that he'll offer you a settlement that you don't adopt this deliberately careless attitude. One case this comes up is in a series of tshuvas in the Shalom Eishiv. The Shalom Eishiv talks about a very famous, much-discussed question. The halacha is, under the laws of inheritance in the Torah, the male descendants are yarish, female descendants are not, when there are males around. The bas makom ben is not yarish. In European law, it was not like that. It's not like that today, that certainly women are yarish. So the halacha, almost all poskim agree that we do not follow the law unless a proper will has been made, whatever the definition of proper will is. But in the absence of a proper will, halacha will award all the property to the sons, not the daughters. So the problem that arose, which is heavily discussed by many, many, many poskim in Europe, was that very often, in order for the sons to get the property in court and going through the legal process, the daughters would have to sign off on it. They would have to actively take steps that say, we waive any claim to the Yerusha. They'd have to sign away the title or whatever it was they had to do, legal documents. The sons practically, legally, couldn't get control of the property without the daughter's cooperation. So the question arose, can the sons tell the daughter, look, al pi din, the post can all say you have no right to the property. You might as well sign these papers. What do you have to lose? Zenam zelo chaser. Why not sign? You have no claim for the property anyway. Or other posts can say, no, the daughters can say, we're not going to steal the property from you. But if you want our signature, you want our active cooperation, pay us. Give us a settlement. Give us something. We're not going to do it for free. So how do you look at it? Do you say it's kofen al midas dom? Since anyway you can't take the property, you might as well sign. Or do you say, no, you want my cooperation. You have to pay me for it. This was extensively discussed for centuries by the poskim. Many poskim, probably most poskim, have said the daughters do have the right, if their cooperation is required, they do have the right to charge at least some fee, some percentage for their trouble or for their cooperation. Sholem Eishiv too, in a number of tshuvas, at least four tshuvas, goes with this basic idea that they have the right to charge. And one of the rayas he brings, he said he's very excited about this raya, and the raya he brings is from Tosfos. He says, Tosfos says that you were allowed to play hardball in order to get the other guy to give you a settlement. And even though he says, you know, the Trumas Hadesha and the Marshal, various Achronim have a very hard time with Tosfos, they don't want to take Tosfos at face value. Good. So we say, like the Trumas Hadesha says, like the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't actively threaten to do something shelo kadin to force a settlement. But so the girl's not threatening anything. The girl's just saying, if you're worried that if I don't sign, you might have problems, or if you're worried that I might not be so nice tomorrow, and tomorrow I'm going to come and take it back, and you want me to sign away my rights forever. You want that? To offer me a settlement. I don't have to do anything actively to you. I don't have to do anything actively to you, even to assure you that I won't cheat you tomorrow. That's not my achrayis. My achrayis is to be honest and not take property that doesn't belong to me. You're nervous. You're worried about what's going to happen. What's my kid going to do? My kid might not be from. You're worried about these things. Then that's your problem. And if you want a legal document that will save you from those eventualities, you have to pay me for it. In one of his tshuvas, the Shalom Eishiv talks about a related case, a very common case that arises today. Basically, there was a zoning issue. Somebody wanted to build a brihais, which I gather is something like a brew house or something like that, some kind of industrial operation. and the government would not allow it. It would not be possible without basically a variance, without the neighbors. I'm not sure what the technical term is. The neighbors would have to sign off that they were okay with this facility being built in their neighborhood. So one of the neighbors wanted to say, "I'm willing to do it if you pay me. If you're willing to, you know, I'm willing to cooperate, but I want money for it." So the question is, does he have the right to do that, or can the other person say, "You're just making trouble. You know, between you and I, both agree this is a reasonable thing to do. You're willing to do it if I pay you. So then stop extorting money from me for no reason. Just sign."
Is this a real legal issue, halachically, that he can't do that?
So the Shalmeshev was not even discussing the question of if they went to a din Torah, would he be able to stop in Bedin? He's just discussing the question is what happens in the secular law. Practically, he can't do it without the paper. Does he have the right to charge money for cooperating with the zoning rules? Halpi halacha, it's less clear. So the Shalmeshev says, first of all, he says this is objectively a nuisance. It's dangerous. There's a fire start sometimes from these buildings, he says. So he's mashma, I think that would be a tiny, even Alpi Dini Yisrael. But besides that, he says, even without that, the basic idea that we're saying is that you can't threaten to do an avla shaloka din, but if you need my cooperation for something, if you need me and you're willing to offer a settlement to me in order that I shouldn't make trouble, even if actively making trouble might not be my right, and as he seems to be saying, even if we'll accept that I'll pay din, I have no right to do it, but lamaisa, I'm allowed to take money for not making trouble. If you're willing to offer it to me and you need it and you can't get anywhere without my cooperation, I'm allowed to take money for it. And again, one of his rayas is based on this tosis. One other very important shita here is the shita of the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim wants to explain tosis. Again, you can argue whether this is a plausible pshat in tosis, whether it's mashman tosis or not, but the Tumim says a din, abstracting it away from the context of the sugya. He says, let's say Reuven comes to Shimon with a claim, he can document it, he has proof and based on everything, a bona fide claim. Shimon admits the claim is true. However, Shimon knows for a certainty that he has a counterclaim against Reuven. Of this counterclaim, he has no proof, he has no documentation, based on will never believe him. However, he knows it's true. So if he simply tries to plead the counterclaim in court, he's not going to get anywhere. Based on will say, his claim is documented, your claim is just your word, and we have no proof for it, so Shimon's going to lose. In such a case, the Tumim says, that's where the defendant is allowed to play hardball with Reuven. He's allowed to threaten and play games and make trouble and try to get Reuven to settle with him, because what's the problem? He's taking Reuven's money, Shaloka Din. It's not Shaloka Din. He's really entitled to the money, Alpi Din. Just basically won't believe him. So playing games to get Reuven to settle is mutter. It's a sort of avodah din l'nafshei. Basically, it's a way of ensuring that your rights, which you actually have, klavish ma'igalia, are being protected. The Nesivos and many acharim accept this idea. Many, perhaps most acharim accept this idea. The Nesivos adds one qualification. You can only do it if you do whatever it is you're doing in a non-public way. You don't do it in front of the basin. The basin thinks you're a rasha. In other words, if you do it, I guess, just privately in front of your opponent, he knows that, I guess, he owes you the money, he just doesn't want to admit it. So he doesn't think you're a Russia, Basin doesn't think you're a Russia, so that's fine. But if you're going to have to go through the charade in front of Basin, then Basin's going to think you're a Russia, because if they don't believe your counterclaim, that is going to be usher. Moreover, the Tumim says that even if this is Mutter Mikra Din, it's not a Midas Chasidus, the right thing to do, the Derech Precious, Derech Chasidus, is that you really shouldn't do this. Doing things which are fundamentally dishonest or not ethical, even if you're harnessing them to the service of a claim that's legitimately yours, is still the wrong thing to do. Now the Trumas Hadeshen, when he talks about why this should be usur, he brings two arguments. One of them is it's a form of theft, that extorting someone, forcing him to settle based on threatening him shaloka din, is a form of theft. He also argues that it's a question of midvash sheker terchak. He says, usually you're going to have to take certain steps which are sheker. Again, I'm not sure what kind of tricks and games he's talking about, but he says some of them commonly will involve sheker, and he brings the Gemara and Shavuos that we've discussed several times. Sheker is usur even when harnessed in the service of a legitimate claim. Now, the Maznai L'Mishpat, Rav Kalasher, asked in the Tumim, so then why did the Tumim say that just because he genuinely owes you the money, you're allowed to do this? If there's really sheker involved, it should be usur anyway. So he tries to say that we're talking about a case where it's not really sheker. I'm not sure what they're arguing about. The Tumim Sedeshin assumes that we're talking about a case where there is sheker. The Maznai L'Mishpat is trying to say that there's a case where there's not actually sheker, but in any event, the Iker Heter is certainly in a case where there's not overt Sheker. Where there is overt Sheker, it's a little bit worse. This was actually, related question, was also the subject of an interesting debate, discussion between, fairly recent poskim, between the Shebina Rav, the Dov Misharim, and the Dry Yeshua, Rav Yeshua Ehrenberg. The Shebina Rav discusses the following case. Reuven has a claim against Shimon. Reuven knows Shimon owes him money. Shimon says he doesn't remember. And Reuven believes Shimon that he doesn't remember. Reuven knows Shimon's an honest guy. If he says he doesn't remember, then he doesn't remember. Now, Shimon doesn't remember, he's not going to pay. So Reuven has an idea. Reuven says, if Shimon claims he doesn't remember, Reuven has the right to ask him for an oath that it's indeed true that he doesn't remember. That's Reuven's right, Alpid Din Torah. Shimon is a God-fearing person, would never take the oath. Shimon doesn't take oaths at all. Shimon will have no choice but to pay. Now the problem is Reuven believes that Shimon doesn't remember. And if he would admit that in Beis Din, I believe him, he wouldn't be able to get an oath. So he has to sort of lie or mislead the Beis Din. He has to pretend that he doesn't believe Shimon, which will thereby trigger Shimon's obligation to take an oath, which will thereby trigger Shimon's giving up and paying Reuven, which Reuven knows he's entitled to, because Reuven remembers vividly that he's owed the money.
Does Beis Din ask the individual, do you trust him in court?
That's a good question. That's part of the debate. That point is not that clear in this context. In other context, that is a very important question, yes. But so whether Reuven has to outright lie and say he doesn't believe him, whether Reuven just has to imply he doesn't believe him, that's an important question, which I'm not going to get into. But so is Reuven allowed to do this? So the Shebina Rav and the Dry Yeshua go back and forth on this point. Again, the Gemara in Shavuos says that Midrash Sheker Tirchak definitely prohibits Sheker in certain situations, even when harnessed to in the service of a legitimate claim. If one person owes three people money, so the creditors are a partnership of three. So they don't have any witnesses, though. So they want to instead, tweak the case a little bit. They'll say that partner Reuven is the creditor. Shimon and Levi will pretend that they're just witnesses, and they'll just go to Beis Din and testify that the money is owed. They're telling the truth, the money is owed. They know it firsthand. It happens to be that they're actually the creditors themselves and not witnesses. So is there anything wrong with that? The answer is yes. That's Midrash Sheker Terchuk. Even though what you're saying is technically true, and it's for a legitimate claim, but since what you're doing is a form of Sheker, you're not allowed to do it. That was the issue of the Dov Beis Sharim and the Dry Yeshua, and even that they go back and forth. It's not clear whether that's Mutter or Oster. So that's really what the Trumas Hadeshim was worried about. He brings also the same Gemara. He says that to do Titztiki, to do Tachbulos, to force him to settle, Kolshkin over there, where you're not entitled to the money, should certainly be Oster. It's a form of Sheker. The Tumim says it's okay if he legitimately owes you the money, but even that is not so clear why it should be Mutter. If Lamaisid involves Sheker, the mere fact that it's in service of a legitimate claim is not necessarily a justification, and that's what the Mishnah Lamishpat struggles to explain.